Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is who you are. You are the new creation. Even as young people, you are the new creation. New doesn't necessarily mean new to you. New does mean that it is different from the old. The old is that which is lost. God wants you to know two things in particular. He wants you to know many things, but He wants you to know these two things in particular. Number one, He wants you to know who you are. It's very important that you know who you are. A lot about your life is going to be determined by your understanding of who you are. Then, He also wants to know whose you are. He wants to know who you belong to. Everybody wants a sense of belonging, but sometimes we don't really have a clear sense of belonging. Sometimes we don't know where we belong or who we belong to. And God wants you to know who you belong to. Because that also will have a very strong effect on your life. Young people, always know who you are and always know whose you are. Who you are. You are the new creation. This is who you are. You are everything that it means to be the new creation. Now, what is the new creation? There is the natural person, the person who's born into the world, does not know God, but has a life here. And this person goes about their life. They go to school. They grow up. Maybe they get married and have children. They have a job. They have certain adventures and experiences in their life. Their children grow up. Maybe they have grandchildren and so on. And then eventually they pass away. This is the old creation. The new creation is much better off than the old creation. The new creation comes from Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, I'm not going to get into that now, but it's all about how time works. You also have been crucified with Christ. Now, you may think to yourself, well, Christ was 2,000 years ago and I'm today. But that's not entirely how time really works. That's just how we experience it here on earth. But it's not really how time works. So we're not going to have time to get into how time works, but just accept this thought that time works differently than just my experience, that there's much more to it than that. Because of the way time works, we also have been crucified with Christ. Every born-again believer, that is to say, everyone who accepts Christ as their Savior, has been crucified with Him. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not us, but Christ who lives in us. This is the new creation. I've been crucified with Him, I live. It's not me, it's not the natural man, it's not the person that was born into the world who is on their own without God, going through their experiences without God, doing the best they can without God. No, it's completely different for us. We have a much richer experience, we have a much richer life, because God gives us His life. This is the new creation. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, we are the body of Christ and members in particular. Members in particular means that each individual part of the body of Christ has a unique and special function within the body of Christ, a unique and special place. We are the body of Christ. Young people, you are the body of Christ. Why is it that you are the body of Christ? Because in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, and again, this is because of the way time works, that it's possible. When Jesus was on the cross, you were there with him. We became his body on the cross. This is why Jesus had to come as a man, so that we could become his body, and we are humans. He had to be human in order for us to be his body. So we became his body on the cross. Well, on the cross, he shed his blood, and that's where we got cleansed from our sins. On the cross, Peter tells us that he took our sins on his body. That's because we became his body, and he bore our sins because he bore us. And the blood of Christ cleanses from those, because that's where the blood of Christ was shed. We died with him on the cross, but we also rose again with him on the third day because we are his body. And that happened on the cross. Today, we are his body. There's nothing that can touch you that doesn't touch God. There's nothing that can get to you that doesn't get to God. There's nothing you feel that God does not feel. There's nothing that you can sense or that you know that God does not. God allows all things in our life in 2 Corinthians 5:18. Because he's in charge and we're his body. He loves you because you're his body. He will be faithful to you because you're his body. If something goes wrong in your life, he'll take care of you because you are his body. He will provide for you because you are his body. There's nothing that can happen to you that he does not permit because you are his body. If God does not want something to happen to his hand, it's not going to happen. He is all powerful. So he can very easily determine what happens and what doesn't, let's say, to his hand. Well, you are his body, just like his hand is his body. So nothing in your life can happen without his approval, without his saying, okay, go ahead. And when some things that are negative do happen, it's only for our benefit in Romans 8:28. And so it's always very controlled by God. Even the smallest details of our life are controlled and known by God because you are his body. Because you're his body, in Ephesians 2:6, you are seated above in heavenly places. In other words, God says that heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. A footstool is kind of like a small ottoman. You put your feet on it. You rest your feet there. The earth is God's resting place for his feet. Because we are his body. That means that although our experiences right now are in earth, the place we really are is in heaven. It's like almost having a dream. You're in bed, but your experience is wherever your dream is taking place. Maybe you dream that you're traveling to some distant place, like Switzerland. So you're dreaming that you're in Switzerland in these beautiful mountains, but you're actually just in bed. So your experience for that time is in the mountains of your dream in Switzerland, but you're actually in bed. It's kind of like that. We are actually seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God. But our experience is here on earth. But nevertheless, we are seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God. You cannot be taken out of where you are. You will always be seated above in heavenly places. That's just a part of who you are. Why? Because you're His body. You're also the apple of His eye in Zechariah 2:8. That word, apple, in apple of His eye, literally, if you translate that from the Hebrew, which is the language that it was written in, the actual word is not apple, that's just the way that we think of it in English. The actual word means little man. We are the little man in God's eye. You're the little person in God's eye. The only way there's a little person in somebody's eye is if that person is looking at someone so closely that the reflection of them is in their eye. And sometimes you can actually see that. If you get close enough to somebody's eye and they're looking closely enough at something, if the light is hitting just so, you can actually see the reflection of whatever they're looking at in their eye. You are the reflection in God's eye. That means He is so interested in you. He is so involved with you. You have His absolute undivided attention at all times. You are the one who is reflected in God's eye. In Romans 1:8, you are the beloved of God. That's why He's so interested in you, because He loves you. You are His beloved. In Isaiah 43:4, you're precious in His sight. Now here's the big one. In Revelation 21:9, you're His bride. What does it mean that He loves me? It means that I'm His bride. That's what it means. Now on earth we think of boy and girl as bride and groom and stuff. It's a little different than that in heaven. It has nothing to do with boy or girl or anything like that. It's a unique, very close, very personal relationship. But it is unique to you. If you are born again, you are His bride. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He cares about you. He will not allow you to be separated from Him. You are His bride. Now, in Isaiah 43 and verse 1, thus says the Lord who created you, and He who formed you, O Israel. Now, this also goes for you. It was said in the days of Israel, it's still good today. So don't worry about the fact that it says, O Israel. The church, the Christians, were not around yet. This is before then. But it applies to you also. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. That means I've saved you. I've forgiven you. I wash you from all sins. I accept you. And then he continues, I have called you by name. God knows your name. And He uses your name when He calls you. He knows your character also. That's one of the things that the word name means. But just like in 1 Samuel 3 in verses 4 to 10, God called Samuel. He was only 8 years old, but God called Samuel. And He used his name. That's the amazing thing. That's how personal God gets. Just like a friend would call you by your name, God will call you in the same way. Now, just because He doesn't always use your name, He can just speak to you any old way He wants, just like you can speak to Him any old way you want. But He'll often address you by your name. And then He says, I called you by your name, you are mine. Whose are you? You are God's. God looks at you and He says, you are mine. You're not the world's. They don't own you. You're not the people around you. They don't own you. You're not the devil's. He doesn't own you. You're not even the angels. They don't own you. God owns you. You belong to Him. You are His. It's better than even being a son or a daughter of God. A son or a daughter, you are a part of that family, and that's very important and very precious, but that's not the same as ownership. With God, you are His property. And that means that all responsibility for you is God's. And He's very good at fulfilling His responsibilities. Everything you need, it's God's responsibility, and He's very good at fulfilling His responsibilities. You belong to God. In 1 Corinthians 7:23, you were purchased with a price. Therefore, do not be slaves of men. You were purchased by God. There was a price of your purchase. The price was His precious blood in 1 Peter 1:19. He didn't purchase you with something as trivial as gold or silver. In the world, people think, ooh, gold. Gold is so valuable. In heaven, gold is pavement. The streets are made of gold in heaven. God didn't purchase you with concrete. God purchased you with the one thing that has more value than absolutely anything else in the universe. He purchased you with His blood. That was the price for you, and He paid it. And now you belong to Him. That's why you're His people, because He purchased you with His blood. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. You are not your own. Sometimes we think that our lives belong to us. Thank God our lives don't belong to us. If our lives belong to us, then we can mess them up really, really well and really, really easily. A lot of people in the world think their lives belong to them, and their lives become a total mess. And they end up very unhappy. Sometimes they end up poor, and even if they end up rich, they end up with all kinds of nasty problems in many cases because they think their lives belong to them. The safest place for me to be is when my life belongs to God, because God takes extremely good care of His things. He will take extremely good care of your life, so long as you keep in mind that your life belongs to Him. If your life belongs to Him, you're not about doing your own thing. It may seem like fun, but the end of it is not much fun. Believe me, it doesn't work well. But when you realize your life belongs to Him, you trust Him, number one. And then number two, whatever kind of a decision you have to make, in everything, you go to God, you turn to Him, you ask Him, and He tells you. And you end up making these great decisions, even though sometimes at the time you don't even know it's a great decision, but it ends up being a great decision because you asked Him. Why did you ask Him? Because your life belongs to Him. If you have something that belongs to you, let's say you have a bicycle, and a friend would like to use your bicycle, they don't just take it. They ask you, hey, is it okay if I ride your bike? And if you say it's okay, they can. If you say it's not okay, they can't. Well, it's like that with God. Hey, God, what is good here? What is it that you want here? What is it that I should be doing here? What kind of a decision should I make? And He will tell you. Because your life belongs to Him. You're not assuming it's your own. Your life belongs to Him. It works very, very well. The benefits of that are amazing. The outcome of that is always a good outcome. Because God will not withhold any good thing from you. Because your life belongs to Him. You are the temple of the living God in 2 Corinthians 6:16, as God has said, He who dwells in you, He walks in you, He will be your God, and you will be His people. That's who you are, and that's whose you are. He's in you, He lives in you. You belong to Him, your body is His temple. You are the body of Christ. You are one person with Him. You are the new creation. You are precious in His sight. You are the beloved of God. You're seated above in heavenly places. You are His bride. And you belong to Him. Never forget that. Remembering that is key to having a really great life with God. If you want a really great life, and I don't know anybody who says to themselves, man, I want my life to be dreadful. If you want a really great life, this is how you get it. It's not hard. It starts with knowing who you are and knowing whose you are. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.